certainly has been a time to rejoice, and Brother Duncan has been bringing us to us from the Word of God great promises that God has promised to us. And I just noticed that in this evening's service that I would draw your attention to tonight, he's going to speak to us, the Lord willing, upon the subject of inherited glories for the Church of God. And we do hope and pray that you will be able to be present in that service. But at the present time, we have another very important subject that is in the Word of God that he's going to present to us, having received the Holy Spirit. And so we pray that the Lord will be with you, Brother Duncan, this morning.
Thank you, Pastor Driscoll. Once again, it's our happy privilege to greet you in the name of the Lord Jesus, asking that his grace and peace and mercy be multiplied to each of us, that the wonderful love of God flow into our hearts, that we may have a better understanding and be drawn closer to the Lord through our fellowship today. We had the privilege to speak over at Pleasant Hill this morning. We do praise God because that his word can be scattered throughout the world. We are very sorry for the attendance here. We did not intend to jeopardize the attendance here. We feel that it was not us that did it. We believe it was the love of trying to help the brethren that did it. And so we're going to put the blame on them. We are thankful for such love. We appreciate that. I can truthfully speak this morning and say that the great love and charity of the Brush Creek Brethren is well known throughout our part of the country. It is spoken of frequently, and this is what God wants among his people, and I think that you have been an outstanding example of this. Morning, we'd like to talk to you about, have you received the Spirit of the Lord? Almost everything that we have in life comes in pairs. We find that it would be very unfortunate to call a marriage if it had not a husband and a wife. You just cannot have one without the other for it to be a marriage or for you to have a family. Then again, when we think about the things in the Bible, Jesus speaks about people worshiping God in spirit and in truth. He also speaks about faith without works is dead. These things we find have their proper perspective, and each one has to fit in correctly with the other in order for something to be successful in the Christian life. This is true of many things in our present day world. We find that one thing depends on the other. If we had a gasoline engine and we have no gasoline, we have electric power. Without the gasoline, we cannot find our motor running. Or if we have the gasoline without the electric power, we do not have the motor running. So it is with the Christian. If we claim to be Christians, if we know the Lord and know the Word of God and know the Scriptures, and we can attend church, we can do a lot of things. But the question is, do we have the power of God, the Spirit of God, operating in our lives, leading us and guiding us as children of God should have? Now, we'd like to begin with the quotation from the Apostle Peter, which we often go into concerning baptism, 2 Peter, or in 2nd chapter of Acts, the 37th verse, where Peter had been preaching. You remember the great sermon he preached on the day of Pentecost. What a wonderful sermon it is. If you go back and study this sermon, it's one of the most compact sermons for salvation, for belief, and for being saved and delivered into God's kingdom there is in the whole Bible. He gave the gospel message there completely to those people in those few words in the second chapter of Acts. And when he had finished preaching about Christ and his crucifixion and the promise that God had made to David, and how that David knew that God was going to raise up Jesus to sit on his throne, and how that God had raised him up, and how they were witnesses of these things. It says in 37th verse, When they had heard these words, they were pricked in their hearts. Now, how often people hear the word of God and are pricked in their hearts? Now, just being pricked in your heart doesn't make you a Christian. Many people are pricked in their hearts, but they do nothing about it. Oftentimes we hear God's word and we're pricked into knowing what we should do, and our hearts are pricked in such a way that we feel we should. And oftentimes when you're talking to people, they say, well, I know I should attend church. I know I should be at the Bible study. Well, they've been pricked enough to know that, but they haven't been pricked hard enough to really move and do something about it. I remember when I was a boy, we had a mischievous boy in class, and he liked to play pranks. And I remember one time he put a needle in the teacher's seat, and when she sat down, she got a prick she never did forget. And that's the kind of prick we need in our hearts, and it can only be done by letting the Spirit come in and really circumcise our hearts, cut out of our hearts anything that is self-desire, and place within us the desire to serve God. And so Peter, when he was asked by these people, not only him, but it says that they said, men, that they spoke to Peter and the other apostles, said, men and brethren, what shall we do? Well, they were concerned. Oh, if we today could just get people to say, what shall we do, when they hear the word of God, when they realize that the whole reason that this Bible is written, the whole reason that Jesus died on the cross, the whole reason for church, and the whole reason for a pastor and all of this preaching is for your benefit, your good, because God is trying to bring you to a state of being saved, a state of enjoying His salvation, of inheriting His glorious kingdom through Jesus Christ. All of this has been done for you. And if we could just get people to say, what shall I do? And then we could tell them what they should do. But Peter gave them an answer. And this answer is something we ought to think about. He said, repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of sins. Oh, we can all do that. Many times we think about that and we do it. We're pricked enough that we go that far, and we're baptized into Jesus Christ for the remission of sin. And I'd like to point out here that to me your baptism is a seal saying that what the Bible has said is true, that the whole testimony about Jesus is true, and that this is your, you might call it your signature or your seal, like circumcision was Abraham's seal, that he believed God, that this is the truth, that you believe that Jesus died and rose again. This is your faith. But he didn't stop there. There was a second part. He says, repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of sins, and ye shall receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. Now it says Holy Ghost, and you'll find me constantly saying Holy Spirit. I'd like to point out to all of you that the Holy Spirit comes from the word pneuma in the Greek, the holy pneuma, which is Holy Spirit. It's translated Holy Ghost. The reason I get away from ghosts, a lot of people believe in these spooks, you know, that float around, and they don't float around. They're not even in existence, but I use the word Holy Spirit because of that. And it gets away from this idea of ghostism. Now he says, ye shall receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. Now, was he joking, or did he really mean it? Here was a preacher full of the Spirit of God, full of the power of God. He's talking to people who want to be converted, who want to have this Christ, who want to be a part of God's program in the eternal world. And so he's saying, and ye shall receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. This is the second part of our Christian experience. Now, brethren, I don't think we should leave any stone unturned when it comes to dealing with God and how we can grow in grace and how we can get closer to God and how we can accomplish more. In the harvesting of the crops this year, in this time of inclement weather, in the time of great amounts of mud and wetness, we could not resort back as farmers in this area to hand picking. It just wouldn't be practical, because we have found that we have a more powerful way of harvesting crops. And as we as Christians find the more powerful way to live for Jesus, the more powerful way to let Christ live in us. More powerful way to please God, we should seek after that way. How many of you would like to go back to living without electric lights? How many of you would like to go back to the horse and buggy days? We wouldn't like it because there is a more powerful way of living, a more convenient way of living, a better way of living. We can accomplish in this lifetime so much more with these modern conveniences of power. And so the Christian can accomplish so much more if he receives the Holy Spirit, the gift of it. Ye shall receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. For the promise is unto you and to your children and to all that are far off, even as many as the Lord our God shall call. My brethren, so often we hear people talking and saying, well, now this was just to those people back in those days. I want you to realize this morning that this promise was to all of those people there and to all that were afar off, even as many as the Lord our God shall call. And brethren, if anyone's ever been called to the glorious God of heaven, it's been people who have been awakened to the glorious truths that you have been brought into. You know that I'm speaking the truth. God has called you into this truth. And so he means for you to receive of his Spirit. Now the apostle Peter was moved by the Holy Spirit. You remember that it had come like a mighty rushing wind. It had filled the whole house. And he was speaking in power. He is speaking by the authority of heaven. So we know that it's very possible for men and women who come to know the Lord's Word and His truth to receive the Holy Spirit in this present world and to live under the leadership and direction of the Holy Spirit. So as he continued his speech, we find that in many other words did he testify and exhort, saying, save yourselves from this untoward generation. And they that gladly received his word, they that gladly received his word. I emphasize that. Are you glad when you hear the word of salvation? Are you glad for the opportunity to accept Christ? Are you glad that God loved you enough to create this great universe and create you and give you a privilege of life eternal and deliver you from all of this sin and corruption that man brought upon himself? Are you glad enough to hear the word, and when you hear it, does it make you so happy that you want to please God and you want to lay hold on the promise of eternal life? Well, they that gladly received his word were baptized. And that same day there was added about 3,000 souls to them. What a great baptism service this must have been. These people wasn't going to leave any stone in the road that would block them or keep them from having a wonderful experience with God. We need men and women today in this world who have a daily experience with God. And the greatest way to have an experience with God is by receiving the Holy Spirit and letting it direct and guide your life. Now, you can have an experience with God by reading His Word, by prayer, and many other avenues, but you want to let the Holy Spirit come and operate and dwell in your life. Now, we find a story of Gentile people who were outside of the covenants of God at the time of the law and the times of Israel and up until the day of Pentecost. They were considered outside. Peter, a mighty man, stood there and preached on that day, but he had an experience in the 10th chapter of Acts. He had a vision one day on the top of the house while they were preparing the meals, and a great sheet was let down to him out of heaven. He was told to rise, slay, and eat, and he wouldn't do it because these were unclean beasts. But God told him, what God hath cleansed, call that not thou common nor unclean. This was done 3 times because God was working with some Gentiles over at the home of Cornelius. And he had caused Cornelius to have a vision and send for Peter. And Peter on the housetop praying didn't understand what this vision meant. It had to do with the Holy Spirit. It had to do with Gentiles coming into the promises of God. And how we praise God this morning that we Gentiles can come into the glorious promises of God through Jesus Christ, right into the church. And that if we be Christ, then are we Abraham's seed and heirs according to the promise. Wonderfully glorious and true it is. And so God was opening up things. Peter didn't quite understand the vision, but as he was through with the vision and praying, he was told by the Spirit that there was men out at the door seeking him, and they were inquiring for him, and that he was to go with them, nothing doubting. We find that he went to the home of Cornelius' house, and in Acts 10:44 he says, as he stood there to speak before all of those people in that home of Cornelius, because Cornelius had gathered in all of his friends and relatives and people about him, told them that an angel of God had appeared to him, he sent for this preacher. And I'd like to, before I quote that, point out this very thought. Why did not the angel, when he came in before Cornelius, just preach the message himself? Why didn't the angel tell Cornelius how to be saved? Brethren, God has always shared his work with those that loved him. God has shared his work with those who care. God has shared his work with men who are thrilled to carry the message. And Peter was a man like this. And you and I should be an individual who loves to work in the vineyard of the Lord, who loves to share in his work. So we are to be heirs and joint heirs with Christ. And as we labor in this world, we're to labor together with him. And so Peter opened his mouth there. And as Peter spake the word, the Holy Spirit fell on them that heard the word. That heard the word. Now the word heard there, we can qualify it by saying simply this, those that heard the word, those who let the word come into their heart and believed them as they heard them. It meant something to them. They heard the good news. And as they heard it, it put rejoicing in their heart, because here we Gentiles can enter into the glory of God. We can share the inheritance that God has promised to the peoples of this world, because here is a man preaching. And as they heard the word, the Holy Spirit came upon them. And so much so that they began to speak with tongues and magnify God. Now, somebody said, well, that means they were speaking with unknown tongues. I'm going to make it clear to you that this is not unknown tongues. They began to speak in languages. In those days, a lot of people had different languages all about them. But how would you speak and prophesy unless you spoke with a tongue? I couldn't speak to you this morning unless I spoke with a tongue. Unknown tongue, as far as is taught by the world today of religion, is false as far as I am concerned. And I have talked to God about it. I am convinced that speaking in tongues, as the world does it, in an unknown tongue as a jabber, doesn't have any place in service of God. Now, these people begin to speak and praise God. They begin to speak verses of Scripture. Now, I'd like to give you an example of what I'm talking about. These people had no experience, perhaps, so much with God. One time I was aboard a ship, about 5,000 men on that ship, and I stood up and started preaching to those men, and I felt the great Spirit of God come upon me. It felt like someone pouring water in my head. And I found myself quoting scriptures that I didn't even know was in the Bible. I didn't have control. God had control. There's been times when this has happened, but I didn't speak in an unknown tongue. I spoke as God gave my tongue the utterance. And this is what this is talking about. You don't go way out yonder on a limb and say, bloop, 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 bloop. But you get out there and you speak words that are intelligent and words that people can comprehend to glorify God. And this is what these people did. Now, this happened to these people, and they that were that believed of the circumcision who had come with Peter, they were surprised. They were astonished. They couldn't understand what was happening here, and so they were completely astounded, because that on the Gentiles God had poured out His Holy Spirit. Well, this ought to tell us something. The Holy Spirit's not only for those people that Peter was preaching to on the day of Pentecost. It's also for Gentile people. It's for anybody that hears the word. It really lets the word come in and become a rejoicing to them. It causes them to become glad and happy because God has provided this great salvation for us. Aren't you glad this morning that in this old world of sin and darkness, a light has shined? Aren't you glad that God has made arrangements for you to believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and to be baptized into Him for the remission of sin and be saved? Aren't you glad that God has the gift of the Holy Spirit to give to you and let you enjoy the blessings of the Spirit and be lit up in your life by the power of God? Turn off the electricity in here and it'll be dark. The lights won't shine. A Christian without the Holy Spirit's like a light bulb without electricity. So these people received the Holy Spirit. Now this is God's signature. Peter says, can any man forbid water that these should not be baptized, which have received the Holy Spirit as well as we? You see, a lot of people say, well, the baptism of the Holy Spirit's the only thing that's important. You don't have to be baptized out here in the water. You don't need to be buried in baptism with Christ. All you have to do is be baptized with the Holy Spirit. But here we can learn something. Peter says, can any man forbid water that these should not be baptized which have received the Holy Spirit as well as we? Again, in Acts 11 and 9, after speaking about this experience to other brethren, he said, and the voice which came again from heaven said, what God has cleansed, call that not come. Now I'd like to dwell just for a second, brethren, upon this thought, what God has cleansed, call not come. If you've been forgiven your sins, if you've received the Holy Spirit in your life, then you're not a common person anymore. You're not like the rest of the world. You're not a part of the world. Jesus said, you're not of the world even as I'm not of the world. And one of the glorious things in my life is to know that I'm not a part of this world, but rather I'm a pilgrim and a stranger here. And God's Spirit keeps me in a wonderful way, and I'm thankful for that. This is like Peter saying over in 1 Peter, the first chapter, who are kept by the power of God through faith unto salvation, ready to be revealed in the last time. Now we need to think about these things and apply them to our hearts and seek the very best thing. Now today, if I was to tell you that you could have the automobile of your choice, everyone would probably pick out the best one that there is in the country. You want the very best. You wouldn't want the worst. You'd pick out the best if you had your choice. And we want the best way of serving God. We want the most mighty way, the most powerful way of serving God. The greatest way that's going to be thrilling and going to be a real experience for us and a blessing to others, because we're concerned with others also. Now, when Peter had to further talk about this in 11 and 15 of Acts, he began to speak. He said, and as I began to speak, the Holy Spirit fell on them as it did on us at the beginning. Talking about these Gentiles, why he said it fell on them just like it did at us at the beginning. And he said, then remembered I the word of the Lord Jesus. John indeed baptized with water, but ye shall be baptized with the Holy Spirit. Ye shall be baptized with the Holy Spirit. John baptized with water, but ye shall be baptized with the Holy Spirit. He said, for as much then as God gave them the like gift as he did unto us which believed on the Lord Jesus Christ, what was I that I could withstand God? God was showing Peter that he gave these Gentile people the same gift, just exactly like he did those people on the day of Pentecost. Those Jews who believed on the Lord Jesus Christ, he gave them the Holy Spirit, and he said he gave them the same gift just like he did us. And who am I, or what was I, that I could withstand God? Now they called a conference at Jerusalem, and you remember this conference in Acts 15 and 7, and after there being much disputing, after all this disputing, these people had this conference, and much disputing in the conference. And sometimes we suppose that people that are Christians and people that know the Lord don't have any differences of opinion, but you'll find here in the early church they had a difference of opinion. But one of the things about their differences of opinion was that they, in prayer and discussion and in love and leadership of the Spirit, let God bring them together and resolve the problem in a mighty manner. And this is what we need to do today. Always, in every case, in my church, I often ask the executive board, I say, well, brethren, what would God have us to do? What is the will of the Lord? And sometimes we have cast lots. And one time we elected our deacons by casting lots. And you know that this was one of the most powerful executive boards I ever had in my life. Letting God choose the man that he wanted. Something to think about, isn't it? And so when there had been much disputing about this, Peter rose up and he said, men and brethren, you know how that a good while ago God made a choice among us that by my mouth the Gentiles should hear the word of the gospel and believe. Now, he made it very plain that God had called him in a special, marvelous vision that the Gentiles should hear the word of truth by his mouth and believe. You notice here that they were to hear it and they did believe it. And he said, "And God who knoweth the hearts, bear them witness and gave them the Spirit." When God gives you the Spirit, when God pours out His Spirit upon you, that's His witness. Like you being baptized in the water is your witness that you accept the Lord, you believe, and that you're willing to turn your life over to Him completely, full committal, and His Spirit coming into you is His witness that He's going to be your Heavenly Father, that He's accepted you as an heir and as a child of God, and that He's going to bless you and keep you by His power and by His Spirit if you'll continue to be steadfast and unmovable in His work as you travel down life's pathway. And said, so he said here that God gave them the Spirit. He bare them witness. He gave them the Spirit and purified their hearts by faith. He says He put no difference between them and us, purifying their hearts by faith. I want you to know this morning, my friends, that God on the day of Pentecost purified the hearts of those Jews by faith, through giving them the Spirit, by their belief of the Word. They left no stone unturned. They went all the way for the Lord. They had full committal. And what a blessing it was. And this is exactly what he's talking about. God put no difference between them and us, he said, purifying their hearts by faith. And you remember the results of the conference. They sent good tidings and good news to the Gentiles and asked them to abstain from idols and from things strangled in blood. But they didn't impose upon them those things that were concerning the law, because we're saved by grace through faith in Jesus Christ. We're out from under the law. By the deeds of the law, no flesh shall be saved. And so in the early church, this was all resolved by this great conference meeting. And it all had to do concerning the Holy Spirit. We turn to the 19th chapter of Acts. Acts 19, we find in the first verse that while Apollos was at Corinth, that Paul, passing through the upper coast of Ephesus, finding certain disciples, he said unto them, "Have ye received the Holy Spirit since ye believed?" Now these people had believed. These people believed, I say, Paul says, "Have you received the Holy Spirit since you believed?" And they said, "Why, we've not so much as heard if there be any Holy Spirit." Now isn't that something to think about? Here are people who have believed, they are disciples, and yet they haven't received the Holy Spirit. They remind me of a light bulb that I have stored at home. I have several of them stacked up, but they never burn. They never have burned. They've never been introduced to the power of electricity. They will be when we put them in the socket and when we screw them in and when we turn the power on, but so far, since they've been made, they've never come in contact with this power. Now, this power doesn't make you jump over benches and roll down the aisle on your sides. It doesn't make you go out and jump in the river and act crazy. Some people think it's because that on the day of Pentecost, somebody said these men are drunken, that it makes you act wild and go plumb out of your mind. It doesn't. It just gives you joy unspeakable and full of glory. It works with people. It causes some to stand still and rejoice. It causes some to say, "Praise the Lord." But it never causes a man to get indecent. It causes a man to do things decently and in order. And as we consider what Paul is asking these people, "Have you received the Holy Spirit since you believe?" "Why, we've not so much as heard if there be any Holy Spirit." "Unto then what were you baptized?" he said. "Why, we were baptized under John's baptism." He said, "John truly baptized with the baptism of repentance, saying to the people that they should believe on him which should come after him, that is, on the Lord Jesus." And when they heard this, now remember, these people had been baptized one time. They had been baptized into John's baptism, which is a baptism of repentance. This word repentance means to be sorrowful for. These people were baptized into a baptism of repentance, John's baptism, but here Paul preaching to them about that they should believe on the Lord Jesus, that John had told this in most uncertain terms, that there's one that comes after me that's mightier than I. He'll baptize you with the Holy Spirit. And so, when these people heard this, they were baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus. They were baptized the second time. They were baptized again in the name of the Lord Jesus. And then when Paul had laid his hands on them, they received the Holy Spirit, or the Holy Spirit came upon them, and they spake with tongues and prophesied. They were moved. They lit up. They became eager to tell the message. They began to be messengers and glorify God. They begin to have testimony. They begin to speak. We often find people who are timid. We find people who get up and they say they can't speak. I have a man in particular in my church who, when he was called to teach, I could hear his knees bump together, bump, 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 as he was trying to teach. But you know, after he received the Holy Spirit and let the Spirit of the Lord, the influence of God, and the influence of God's Word, and the influence of His Son come in his life so strong, he became like Peter. He no longer was afraid. He became bold. The Spirit of the Lord can light you up. It's something you need in your life. And it's a very wonderful thing. And perhaps you think it isn't real, but I want you to know that it is real, and you can have it. You can have it in your life. And I'm going to tell you how in just a few moments, how that you can have the Holy Spirit in your life. Jesus said in John 14 and 15, He said, "If you love me, keep my commandments. If ye love me, keep my commandments." If I get nothing else across to you this morning except that very thought Jesus left, "If you love me, keep my commandments." And I will pray the Father, and He will give you another Comforter, even the Spirit of Truth. Now the Holy Comforter, the Spirit of Truth, and the Holy Spirit are all one and the same thing. He said, "I will pray the Father, and He will give you another Comforter, that He may abide with you forever, even the Spirit of Truth, whom the world cannot receive, because it seeth Him not, neither knoweth Him." Seeth Him not doesn't refer to the Holy Spirit, because the Holy Spirit is not a person. It refers to God, because they don't see God. They don't know who God is. They don't understand there's one true and living God. If you don't know the truth about God, you can't receive the Holy Spirit. I don't believe any person can receive the Holy Spirit. There are many spirits in the world, but the only Spirit that's the Holy Spirit is a Spirit that will teach you into all truth and guide you in all truth and bring you closer to God and light you up to be a witness for the Lord and excite you and thrill you in a wonderful way in decency in order to rightly proclaim the Word of God. Jesus said He would send us this other Comforter, that it might abide with us forever, even the Spirit of Truth, which the world cannot receive. Now, the people of the world cannot receive it because they don't know God. And they don't see God by faith. They don't understand God by faith. And faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the Word of the Lord. You can't have the right faith without it comes by hearing the Word of God. Anything not based on "thus saith the Lord" is not faith. It cannot be faith, and it cannot have any power. In John 6:63, Jesus said, "The words that I speak unto you, they are spirit and they are life." God's Word has an influence. It has a power. And even when I go out to pray, sometimes I turn over in the Psalms here and I read two or three Psalms as though I had written those Psalms. I let them apply to me personally. I find my prayer in the Spirit is much stronger. I find that spiritually when I talk with God, I seem to be so much closer to God. It seems as though I'm all lit up. I'm turned on. We're living in a generation when people love to be turned on. Well, if you want to be turned on, let the Spirit of Truth come in and have an influence in your life, seeking the truth, seeking to please God, doing what God truly wants you to do in your life. This is important. And when we do this, we're going to see wonderful things accomplished for the glory of the Lord. We are told in 1 Corinthians 12 and 13, "For by one Spirit are you all baptized into one body. Whether you be Jew or Gentile, bond or free, you're all to be baptized into one body by this one Spirit, and have all been made to drink into this one Spirit." Now, brethren, we realize and know this morning that we all can use and need the Holy Spirit with us all the time as we travel down life's pathway to guide us. Why? Because without the Holy Spirit, we are a Christian, my friends, like those disciples over there where Paul was talking to. Have you received the Holy Spirit since you believe? Oh, we don't even know what the Spirit is. Have you never experienced it? I was in a home of a lady who was 60 years old not long ago. This lady said that somehow, she hoped somehow before the Lord came that she could have the Holy Spirit. I said, why not tonight? She came and knelt down among our group of people as we were singing and praying, and we took her by the hand and we prayed for her. And when we finished, she got up and clapped her hands and praised the Lord. She said, I've never had such a wonderful feeling. I've never felt so close to God. I just feel the purity of Jesus. His wonderful cleanness has come in my life. She's going to be baptized when I go back home. She's leaving her church and coming into the church of God. Brethren, she has found that there is a reality to letting the Spirit. Yes, she's been a disciple all these years. We want the Spirit of God to come into our hearts and into our lives. Well, is it possible that God will let us have the Holy Spirit? In Acts 2:17, on the day of Pentecost, Peter made it plain this was that which was spoken of by Joel the prophet. And it shall come to pass in the last days, saith God, that I will pour out my Spirit upon all flesh. And your sons and your daughters shall prophesy. Your young men shall see visions, and your old men shall dream dreams. Now, is God joking? Did he really mean it? Well, was it all concluded there on the day of Pentecost? I'd like for you to remember that over in Peter, 2 Peter, the 3rd chapter, he tells us very plainly, to be not ignorant of this one thing, that one day is with the Lord as 1,000 years, and 1,000 years is one day. The last days, the day of Pentecost happened in the 4th millennium. We're now down in the 6th. And brethren, this is the last days. In the 7th millennium is to be the time of rest for God's people. Now, that's the way I have understood it, by inspiration from God. I believe that we will in the 7th millennium will be the Lord's day. I believe we're nearing it. You know that we're nearing it. We're coming so close to it. Figure out the coming of the Lord mathematically, prophetically, and you'll find that we're coming close to the 7th day of God's time. 1,000 years is one day. In the last days, that's the last 2 millennials, before the Lord comes, we're going to have God pouring out His Spirit upon all flesh. People can have the Holy Spirit, be led by the Spirit. Now, in Luke 11:13, we find how you can get the Spirit. Jesus said, if you being evil know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more shall your heavenly Father give the Holy Spirit to them that ask Him? If you want the Holy Spirit, you need to ask God, Lord, pour out your Spirit upon me. Lead me by your Spirit. Guide me by your Spirit. Your constant prayer should be, Lord, I have believed, I've been baptized into Christ for the remission of sins. And now I ask you to give me this gift of the Holy Spirit. Let it come upon me. You guide me, you lead me, and I'll be led by your Spirit. Now we're to walk after the Spirit. If you go to Romans, the 8th chapter, just listen to what these wonderful words say. Romans 8:1. There is now therefore no condemnation to them that walk in Christ Jesus, or to those who are in Christ Jesus who walk, not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. Which Spirit? Not any Spirit, but the Spirit of truth, the Holy Spirit. There is now therefore no condemnation. You're not a condemned person. That's why the church will not be judged. That's why the church will be called up to meet the Lord in the air when He comes. That's why they won't stand before the great white throne judgment. I've been in churches that taught that every one of us would have to stand before the judgment seat of Christ and give an account of ourselves before the Lord. But if you're in Christ, there's no condemnation to you now, right now. There is now, therefore, no condemnation to those who are in Christ Jesus, who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. For the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus has made me free from the law of sin and death. Now, I may be getting over your head here a little bit. I hope not. But listen to this. For the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus has made me free from the law of sin and death. For what the law could not do in that it was weak through the flesh, God sending His own Son in the likeness of sinful flesh, and for sin in the flesh, condemned sin in the flesh, that the righteousness of the law might be fulfilled in us who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. The righteousness of the law, my brethren, of the church of God, it is fulfilled in us who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. For they that are after the flesh demand the things of the flesh, If you're a person who is after the things of the flesh, you're going to mind or obey the things of the flesh. But they who are after the Spirit, they mind the things of the Spirit. Now, we ought to consider these things. What are you minding today? What are you obeying? What are you after? What are you seeking in this world? Are you seeking to have God's Spirit to lead and guide you? Do you want God's Spirit to come to you, speak to you in the middle of the night? Do you want to feel His influence all about you and keeping you and guiding you and taking care of you and watching over you and leading you and strengthening you and making you a greater person in the Lord? Is God's Spirit lighting you up? Or are you letting the cares of this life, like thoughts of adultery and thoughts of fornication and thoughts of covetousness and thoughts of idolatry, are you letting these things come in and darken your life and push out those things that God would have you to have? So for we find that the carnal mind is enmity against God. We find that the carnal mind is enmity against God, for it's not subject to the law of God, and neither indeed can be. So he says, so them they that are in the flesh, they cannot please God. Well, we say, well, we're all in the flesh. So then they that are in the flesh cannot please God. Coming on down to the eighth and ninth verses of Romans 8 here. So then they that are in the flesh cannot please God. But ye are not in the flesh, but in the Spirit, if so be that the Spirit of God dwell in you. Oh, my brethren, don't we need God's Spirit to dwell in us? But ye are not in the flesh, but in the Spirit, if so be that the Spirit of God dwell in you. And now, brethren, here is one of the most tremendous sayings in the Bible. But if any man have not the Spirit of Christ, he is none of his. If you have not the Spirit of Christ, or the Spirit of being anointed, you are not one of his. Have you received the Holy Spirit since you believed? Have you let the Spirit and power of God become a reality in your life because you love the Lord Jesus and keep His commandments? Have you received it because you've asked of God? Does the Holy Spirit operate in your life? If it doesn't, it's time for you to go off in a secret closet somewhere and call on the Lord, or have your pastor to meet with you and pray and ask God to let His Holy Spirit, because the promise is unto you, He said, and to your children and to all that are far off, and even as many as the Lord our God shall call. Brethren, without the Spirit, we will do a poor job. We will do just a part job for the Lord. It takes the Spirit of the Lord to put the power in our lives so we can become dynamic Christians for Jesus. And our goal and our aim in Christ is to see every Church of God member become a dynamic Christian in 1973, if the Lord tarries, that we might be dynamic people for Christ, moved by His Spirit and power, witnessing for Christ worldwide in 1973. You say, well, what can't be done? I can do all things through Christ which strengtheneth me. It's His Spirit and His power that we need in our lives. I'm hoping and trusting that you'll think about these wonderful things. If any man have not the Spirit of Christ, he's none of his. Now, if you're not sure that you have not the, if you're not sure that you have the Spirit, then why not go off somewhere and pray and talk to the Lord? Ask, because if your child asks you, you'll give him a gift, and he asks, and the Heavenly Father will give the Holy Spirit to them that ask, providing they meet the condition of John 14:15. If you love me, keep my commandment. If you hunger, if you thirst, blessed are they that hunger and thirst after righteousness, for they shall be filled. Are you hungry for a closer walk with God? Or are you just satisfied to stay where you're at? I'm never satisfied with this mountaintop experience. I always think there's a little closer walk with God. I'm always seeking a closer walk with God. Brethren, if I'd have been satisfied to just become a Christian by name and to stay where I was, I'd have been back yonder in that other group and never have been in the Church of God. But I want to ever get closer to the Lord. Every day I want to be closer than the day before. And the only way I can do it is to walk after the Spirit, mind the things of the Spirit. Now, to get down to exactly what we're talking about, we find it in Colossians, the 3rd chapter. If ye be risen with Christ, seek those things which are above, where Christ sitteth at the right hand of God. Set your affections on things above and not on things on the earth. Where a man's heart is, my friends, what he's thinking about, what he desires, what's the most important thing in your life? Is it the Lord and His Spirit and His power and the things that are at God's right hand and the things that are to come, or is it the things of this earth? Today I hope that you'll set your affections on things above. I hope and pray that you'll let God's Holy Spirit operate in your life. I hope and trust that you'll let God light up your life and cause you to become so enthused and thrilled and so full of inspiration, because that's exactly what the Spirit is for you. It's inspiration. We call God's Word the inspired Word of God. It was inspiration. And God's Spirit is the inspiration of God in you that inspires you and thrills you and leads you and causes you under this inspiration to witness for Christ, to live for Christ, to live a life so much like Christ that others can see Christ living in you. And the greatest sermons that's ever been preached in this world has been sermons that's been preached by righteous living of the church. People who live Jesus because they're filled with the oil, with the Spirit. They're filled with that inspiration of God. Coming to a close, we would quote to you the 12th verse. For if the Spirit of Him that raised up Christ from the dead, you read it right here. If the Spirit of Him that raised up Christ from the dead dwell in you. Now isn't that something to think about? The Spirit that raised up Christ, the inspiration and the power and the influence that brought our Lord Jesus Christ from the dead again and brought Him to life. If this Spirit dwell in you. Oh, isn't that something to think about? The same Spirit that raised up Jesus from the dead can dwell in you. If the Spirit of Him that raised up Christ from the dead dwell in you, He that raised up Jesus from the dead shall quicken your mortal bodies by His Spirit that dwelleth in you. Have you ever had a tooth that was quickened? You just couldn't stand a little drink of water, even just the very, very touch of it, or maybe eating a bite, and it's quick just like that. We are to be quick, Christians. The very thought of Jesus, the very thought of the kingdom, the very thought of God's Word, the very hearing of it, instantly, day and night, we are quickened people. We are a people that's alive. We've been made alive in a great sense. We are more alive than the rest of the world because we're not a part of the world, but we're alive to the things of God. We're alive to the things of Christ. We're only interested in the things of God. And so we are walking in the inspiration of God. Morning, if you don't have the inspiration of the Lord, if you don't have the Spirit of God, I invite you to become interested in it and seek it. I'm going to, this morning, give an invitation. If you're outside of Christ and you've never accepted Christ and been baptized into Him, I would ask you to come forward and accept Christ and be baptized into Him for the remission of sins. I'm also going to put it this way to you. I haven't talked to your pastor about it, but if you have not received the Holy Spirit in your life as you should, and you have been baptized into Christ, I would ask you to come and give Him your hand and remain with Him for prayer after the service. Now, I would ask that you would do that. If you don't feel that you have the Holy Spirit, and I'll be glad to stay and we'll talk with you even about it, but if you don't feel, as a Christian, you have the Holy Spirit, we'd like for you to come and give Him your hand and stay for a prayer after the service. But if you are here without baptism, never been baptized into Christ, you know the gospel message, and you know it's time to make decision, you know the day of salvation at hand, why not come today and go all the way? Be baptized into Him for the remission of sins and receive the Holy Spirit today. May the Lord bless you.